Well, we're back, and this one is going to be on repetition. What does that have to do with anything?
Repetition. Okay.
I mean, that seems like a little bit boring.
What?
Repetition.
Well. Okay. Joshua 1 verse 8. Let's look at some repetition in the Bible.
Okay.
Keep this book of the law. Joshua's taking over from Moses. Okay. So these are some instructions for
their ministry biz.
And Joshua successfully becoming the new leader. So it's about ministry, right? Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful.
Oh, success is in there. Prosperous is, that's a pretty good looking ministry biz.
Yeah, so if you want to be successful at your ministry biz, then you need to meditate. What is meditating? Meditating is going over the same ground over and over and over again. By the way, worry is negative meditation, right? You're going over some negative thing, something that you're worried about, and you go over it and over it and over it again. And then it drags you further down. The antidote to worry is meditating on God's word, where you're looking at what God has to say about something over and over and over again. And that's how actually things get to us.
Right.
It's repetition. We don't get things the first time. It only comes as you go over it and over it and over it again.
It kind of reminds us of little by little by little.
Yes.
Very
so let's go to the... let's look at how the church began. Okay. This was the greatest ministry biz thing that ever gets started. This is the beginning of the whole thing. Okay. So Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Okay.
Okay, so I always knew about this passage, and, you know, because when I planted a church in Vancouver, I'm, you know, aware of the whole business of church, and all of a sudden you pay attention to what you're
reading.
Every
little detail of everything you're doing.
So I started, and, you know, we did that phone campaign, made 20,000 phone calls into the community, had a grand opening, all those things. But I had a neighbor who, it's funny how we met. I'm an introvert, so how in the world am I going to get people into my new church? So my wife and I started walking around the neighborhood. We thought, you know, if we just walk around 7 times, the walls will fall down,
something
good will happen. So anyway, I had made a sandwich board, you know, one of those boards that had the name of the church.
Yeah.
And on Sunday, I would put it in the trunk of the car, and I'd go to church, and I'd put it out on the road.
Yes.
And then after the service, I'd throw it back in the trunk.
Yes.
And when I came home, I just took it and propped it on our porch.
Ah.
So my wife is out there gardening or doing something in the front yard, and a neighbor walks by, and she sees this sandwich board.
Yeah.
And she says, "So what's this?" "Oh, we're planting a church, blah, 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 blah." "Oh." And they started talking, and they found out that both husbands were interested in tennis. So they set up a tennis game with all four of us.
Right.
So we ended up going to their house. Anyway, they ended up coming to our church. And then over the next year, they were probably together, were responsible for probably 60 people coming to our church.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible.
She was... And he were...
Yeah, they were
connectors.
They were connectors. But I reflected after a couple of years on our relationship. And I realized I did something with him almost every day. You know, maybe we'd ride bikes, we played hockey together, or we would just call, we just talk. There was always a connection, a connection, a connection, a connection, a connection over a long period of time. And then when I read Acts 2 again, and I saw the word every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, that word jumped out at me. That the power of changing people's lives comes with every day.
Right, a repetition.
So you and I, when we first met, you know, we were together at a conference and we were together every day. But after that, we're on the phone, we're talking. I mean, we contacted each other all the time about everything and anything. And it was because of that constant repetition that a friendship, a ministry, all these things have developed out of that.
Right.
We've seen each other at our highs, our lows, all those things, but we have such a history that everyday thing starts adding up into something powerful.
You know, there's a whole therapy out there called narrative therapy. It's fascinating. Their first main principle, and we don't have a class yet for this, but it's fascinating to talk about. They said there are stories with thin storylines and stories with thick storylines. And a lot of people, when they have problems in their relationship, they will make a thin storyline evaluation. They'll pick like points on a dot of very thin things. And a lot of times they miss out on the thick, because according to narrative therapy, it's the thick things that ultimately bring healing, that remind people to forgive and to move on and to bless each other.
Right. So somebody offends somebody one time, and then someone goes with that thin line, and you know, ignores the hundred other good things that happened, and now they're identifying somebody by one little thing,
And let's say you do a coffee shop, you know, the more repetition, the more you talk, the deeper relation. When all of a sudden the coffee is cold because you hired someone and they didn't really pay attention. If it's a thin relationship,
then you're done.
You know what? They have cold coffee and we're not going there. But it's a thick relationship. You know, I appreciate how Henry's out there doing that. And I understand that, you know, sometimes the help doesn't warm the coffee. You know, it's that kind of a thing.
Right. Exactly. All right. So another example, Paul in Athens. Okay. So we've talked about this already, where Paul goes to Athens, he sees the statue, and he starts talking to these philosophers on Mars Hill. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. Okay, so he didn't just swing in one time. That's how I pictured it, right? Yeah, he swings in Mars Hill, has his big discussion.
That's a good point.
And that's it.
Actually, the day by day. In other words, he kept going back and back and back.
So these people, oh, here comes Paul again. This was not like, we don't know this guy.
Well, because it happens once in the Bible, you think that he made his trip to Mars Hill on the missionary tour. Yeah. And there he was at Mars Hill.
Bing, bada boom, done.
Now he moved on to the next thing. No, it's day by day.
For all we know, how many months he did this. Every day he comes, here's the people, here comes Paul. We get the second installment, going over the ground again, questions, answers, you know, challenges, over and over and over and over again. And
that's interesting.
That's, you know, what we don't see is the day by day with Paul, right? We have these short little things.
Right.
But we don't understand how many times he probably had to say something.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Okay. So influence happens little by little. Okay, trust is built over many repeated positive experiences.
Okay.
Most people need at least 7 presentations of the same thing before they accept or adopt it.
7?
Yeah.
7.
7. So it's funny like this. I see this with people naming their kids.
Right.
Okay. Everyone wants to find a unique name.
Right.
Right. So they name their child, you know, Candace or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, you know, I don't know any Candaces. This is so unique.
Right.
But generally, if you think you found a unique name, just Google it, look at the top 100 names, and generally the one you pick is in the top 20.
Right.
And the reason you think it's unique, you think you had never heard of it, you've already heard it seven times.
Right.
From someone else, and that's why it's on your radar screen, but you're not aware of it. You think it's unique. You think you're coming up with something new here.
Right.
But really, you're just not aware of how many times that you did it. By the time most of us start doing something, it's already a trend.
Right.
And we don't know that it's a trend.
Right. There are actually people who know that just before it occurs.
Right.
You know, and then it's like people think they're brilliant because they even predicted it.
Right.
But then there are those, and most of us,
yes,
we're in it and already moving.
Yeah, but we think we're on the cutting edge always. So that's why influence happens little by little by little, and you have to keep coming back to it, over and over and over again.
You know, in a lot of ways, this is the part that's called the grind.
Yes.
The grind of influence.
Yes.
I mean, it's far better to sort of like,
yeah,
tie in for a little bit and then leave it.
That's why people are attracted to mission trips, right? You go down to some country that and you do this and you go here speak and you have all these experiences and everyone there tells you you're awesome, and then you go home and you never see them again and you think you changed the world.
And you have pictures of the mission trip and you show everybody.
Yeah. And that the dramatic difference that you made while you were there. And then you have where people adopt some child, and they have 18 years of trying to influence this person, and it doesn't always go that well.
Right.
Right? I mean, so that's the real picture of influence. It's over the long haul, not this short little thing. You can impress somebody for a short amount of time, but then they forget about you a year later, too. So the real influence happens little by little over a long period of time.
So when you talk about a biz, ministry biz, in the various classes, if you're interested in coffee or a Bible ministry or a matchmaking ministry or the other things we offer, a official
coaching
ministry, coaching, life coaching, so there has to be processes in place that put this into concrete reality every day.
Yes.
And I think that's where many people, and I know as church planters, that's sort of our area.
Yeah.
And we saw many church planters who, they loved being in the office to do the sermon.
Right. Yes.
And they loved a few things.
Yes.
But what they didn't love was actually meeting people.
Yeah, the grind.
The grind.
Right. Most pastors want to just preach, and that's it. You know, I get up.
I went to seminary to learn how to
preach. I will fix all the problems in the half an hour speech, but the real reality of changing people's lives is during the week.
Yeah.
And how are you helping people during the week? How are you empowering people? How are you, you know, equipping leaders and getting them motivated? And you know, that's the real, influence. And so any business that you're gonna you start, there has to be a consistent repetition of something,
right?
Or it'll all fall apart.
I remember, you know, you'd mentioned about I picked a Dutch name in the book, you know, and I remember at that time in the Lord in my devotions was a passage like this, and I remember thinking that day it was 3:00 in the afternoon, and I committed before the Lord that I was going to keep practicing repetition. And Eugene, Oregon was extremely difficult for the gospel.
Yeah.
In those days. I think it still is.
Probably, yeah.
But so I thought, okay, it's 3:30, you know, it's getting late. Just forget it. And I was thinking of just forgetting it that day. You know, I go home, forget it. So it was sort of, so what could I do? And that was interesting. So the Dutch idea came, you know, Dutch name, you know.
Yeah.
And it just popped in my mind.
Right.
Now, I immediately had attack. I immediately had self-doubt. I thought, like, you know, does this really work? Right. You know, am I going to do anything?
Right.
So I just, okay. So it popped in my mind. Without thinking, I just went to get the white pages. Then we had white pages.
Yeah.
And I went to the V's, because Vander, that's in Dutch, I know that, you know.
Yeah.
Moved it right to there, and then I went like this. I just shut my eyes and put it there in the Dutch, and it happened to be, you know, that name. And so I just called, and the wife answered. But I remember that it was the commit myself to repetition.
Right, right.
You know, because I had no idea, maybe nothing would happen. In fact, I concluded if nothing happened, I at least went through the process of repetition.
Right, right. You at least tried.
I at least tried.
Okay. So, common repetitions in life. Let's just think about this. So, number one, there's your devotions.
Okay.
Okay, so devotions, you want a connection to God. Right. A connection to God is a relationship. It consists of talking and listening. But if you want a close relationship to somebody, it takes that daily thing.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Every day they met in the temple courts.
Or repeatedly.
Right. Day by day, Paul went and argued with the people at Mars Hill.
Right.
So if you want a relationship with God, it takes day by day. So what people will do, instead they go on a retreat and they OD on God for 3 days and then ignore Him the rest of their life. Or, like most people, they just go once a week on Sunday and hear someone else's experience of God, and then that's it. They're having a surrogate.
Like a pre-chewed meal.
Yeah. Like a bird, you know. I'm going to chew it up for you and put it down. And
now, again, we're overstating this.
Yeah.
Don't get offended, you know.
I mean, yeah.
You know, sometimes we overstate things, you know, it's hyperbole. We're trying to make a point. And we know it's not pre-chewed.
Right.
But the point is,
for
many people, that's all their walk is.
Right. And so we're saying that if you want a foundation of something solid, because that's what repetition does.
Right.
It builds something.
Right.
You start with your repetition with God, your devotions. All right. Things like dating. Okay. You know, I saw my wife for the first time at the college I was attending, and then I instituted a means of being with her for a few hours.
Right.
And then my goal was to do that again.
Right.
And again and again and again. And over that time, we got to know each other and trust and, you know, commonality, you know, a vision for our life together. So eventually I asked her to marry me and we got married and, you know, we've been in ministry partners ever since. But it started with that repetition of connecting with each other.
I wonder, could there be like a, for today's time, a dating church? You know, this is like started by someone in early 20s or after college, mid-20s. And it, the whole goal, it's put out on Facebook, a local community page. Hey, Christians, or people who are interested in Christianity, you know, and want to learn more, we're starting a dating church. And what it really is, we're getting you all together, we're going to do activities, we're going to do teaching about what Christian marriage is and Christian stuff is, and the church may only last until we all find our spouses, or we'll do it, you know, dating church.
Well, certainly you could do, like, if you had a coffee shop, you could have Friday night date situation, where you're like, you know, okay, every Friday night, this is what
Christian,
we're trying to do.
Yeah.
At, this is our coffee shop goal on Fridays or whatever it is, Saturday.
Every Friday. Yeah.
And we keep doing it so people count on it. See, the
it's Friday night, dating night.
So success often is that, right? If you just did it once, a lot of things don't catch on the first time, right?
Uh-huh.
It's over time that it becomes a thing.
Right. I know that a big disappointment in church planting is you start a new program and two show up, and then you count the number.
Yeah.
It was a failure.
Yes.
But if next week three show up,
right?
I mean, really, that is 33%? That's 33% growth.
Yeah.
If one more person came.
Yeah. Well, that's if there's two and one more shows up, it's 50%.
Yeah. There you go. 50% growth.
Yeah.
Okay. So what if two more the week later?
Yeah.
Now, but what we're doing is like, well, you know, five came, so you do your Friday night dating night at the coffee shop, and at first two people come.
Right.
It's like, you know what, we're, you know, this is, it takes time. You know, it's expectations. If you say to the two people, losers, we're showing up at our loser event.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of speakers will say, Yeah, it looks like we didn't have the turnout we were hoping for. That's their opening line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like never. Seriously.
No, because you're dissing the people that showed up.
Yes. Yeah, and remember, little by little.
Right.
So it's exactly. That type of, you know, don't get caught up in the, it's got to be big
right.
Conundrum.
Right. No, you start out small. Keep expectations small and build.
Yes.
Okay, sales. Sales. Okay, repetitions in life. We have sales.
So what do you mean by sales?
Well, if you're in a business and you're trying to sell something, it's very difficult to sell something without repetition, without seeing a person over and over and over again. Even when you buy something online, you look and then you read reviews and you talk to other people. Without repetition, I think that statistic about someone has to hear about something 7 times before they'll do anything, I think that comes from the sales world.
Is that because of trust? Why does it take 7 times? Do we not trust things?
Well, I think, number one, it just takes that long for us to think that this is a thing. I mean, like I think just trends, right?
Right.
Trends, you know, all of a sudden a certain color is in.
Right.
Right. But the first time you see that color, you didn't like it.
Right.
But over time, I'm getting used to that. I mean, car styles, everything.
Right.
And I just think, you know, human beings are sort of always stuck in the past. I mean, there's some people that always gravitate to something new.
Right.
But most of us take a long time to get to the next thing. So I think, you know, that in most every area of life, to get someone to do something takes several passes at it.
Okay. That makes sense. So repetition is important in sales.
So that's why salesmen know that they have to be persistent, right?
Right.
And when they get rejected, they don't take it personally.
No.
They just know that this rejection means I only have 6 more to go before you say yes.
Right. Well, and I can tell you, over 20 years of Christian leaders' ministries, to get funders who would invest, and I'm not talking vision partners or students, you have been amazing how you have participated.
Right.
But some of the other donors in the kingdom, it's like I have 10 rejections for one person who actually signed on.
Exactly. All right. So, next one.
Parenting.
It's the same repetition, right? It's trying to teach your kids something.
Over long periods of time.
It takes a long period of time. That's true with, like, your devotions in your family life.
Right.
I remember when we first started to read the Bible together, I have 4 boys, and we decided to read through the whole Bible. The first time around, it's just, a chore.
Right.
But over time, as years go by, passages become more meaningful and connections to what's happening in your life becomes more meaningful. Consistency in terms of, discipline with your kids. It's repetition. Does when dad and mom say this, do they mean it?
Right.
And kids will test it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You follow through once, and the next time you let it go, they go, hey, I got a 50% odds that I can get away with this.
Right.
So again, it's that consistency, repeating over and over again.
Okay, the next one
is teaching.
Teaching.
Right? So again, it's the same. Kids need to come back to it and come back to it and come back to it. I mean, in some ways, every grade level, half of what you're doing is repeating what you did the year before.
Right. Right.
Because it just takes us that long to catch on to things.
Right. A lot of principals in this class have been in other classes, like the People Smart class.
Right.
But yet, it's important to go over it again because we need that.
Right. Traditions.
Tradition.
Yeah. From what movie?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the Roof, yes.
That's right.
So what are traditions? Like your Christmas tradition, your Thanksgiving traditions, whatever holidays you have in your country, or things that your family typically does. We used to go camping, actually, right here, not Spring Lake, but Grand Haven, not too far from here.
Where we are.
My cousins, my uncles and aunts, at the end of every summer, we would go for a week or two for like maybe 6 years in a row.
Wow.
And, you know, all of us cousins, somehow that repetition connected us into a thing. It became a thing.
Right.
And it became important because it was repeated every year.
Yes.
And the reason why that works, the reason why traditions are so powerful, is that the memories start getting piled on top of each other.
Right.
So if I've been doing something for 6 years and this good thing happened that year and that different good thing happened this year, now when I go this year, I'm more emotional about whatever happens because I'm stealing the emotion of all the other years.
Right.
It starts stacking up.
Right.
You know, that's why Christmas carols, you only sing them at Christmas time.
Right.
And they become memory catchers.
Right.
And so now when you sing that song, it's powerful because it's stealing all the memories of your past.
Right.
And that only happens with repetition.
Right, right, right. And so in a ministry biz, the more repetition you can create over time,
right,
the more people have a positive experience and want to be with you more.
Right. So creating sort of traditions within the business that you start, mm-hmm. you know, every Friday we do this, or this season we do that. We're always doing something different every time.
Right, exactly. Very interesting.
All right, that's it.
So there you have it. Let's look at devotions, dating, sales, parenting, teaching, traditions, just to make sure I'm sort of fast through those.
Just examples. We could go, I mean, all of life really is about repetition.
So when you think about kind of concluding this presentation of repetition and ministry biz, what do you think is probably the most important thing to remember about repetition?
I think it's the trust thing, that if you're going to start some kind of ministry biz, whether it's ministry slanted or business slanted or equally both, consistency is what people count on.
So consistency.
Yeah, and consistency happens when you keep repeating it. If you're going to do the coffee business and you repeatedly, you know, someone orders what they order and it's exactly what they liked last time.
Now, you even remember what they liked.
Right. Yeah. Knowing people's names, you're creating a community with whatever ministry biz you do. And being consistent with that community, knowing who their kids are and asking about, so it's just a repeated thing, right? I asked you last time about how your wife is doing, and she was struggling, she was going in for a test. Now the next time I see you, if I don't ask you about that, then did I care?
Right.
So it's repeating that, it's coming back to that same topic over and over again. Or in evangelism, it's the same thing.
Right.
You know, we got so far in our discussion last time, so now we're carrying the ball. If I forget everything that we talked about, then the person gets the sense that you don't care.
You know, when I was researching this, we both researched this topic, pour into this for your benefit. And one of the things that I found is that a lot of businesses, if they were to have an epitaph of why did they fail, a large percentage failed because repetition, inconsistency, and repeatedly, all these words were not regular. They were not consistent, those words.
Right.
Quality was up and down.
Right.
And this hurt. So, you know, all the stuff we talked about, this is now where it gets into the grind.
Right, right.
And this is where, are you really committed? Is your voice strong enough to say, hey, this is what I'm here to do to impact
people? And the reason why I think people drop it is repetition is something that pays off long term.
Yeah, little by little. Yeah.
You know, you don't see it right away, and so then you go, is it really worth it?
Right.
It is worth it, but the fruit of the tree is like later.
Yes.
So you just have to, in faith, keep doing it.
That's very good. Thanks for listening this time, and this message, take it to heart.
because it were probably one of the things you'll look back and say, I didn't like hearing all that, but it sure made a difference.